the Worship Leader Blog Podcast, empowering, instructing, and encouraging both on and off the stage.
Hey guys, it's Terry with theworshipleaderblog.com, and today I will be talking about music. And does what we listen to, does it matter? And I'll tell you straight off, I think that that is a yes. So let's get right into it. This will be a conversation. This is just to raise questions. This is not to say, oh, you shouldn't listen to this and that, and this person's bad and this person's evil. I'm just going to put forth a few Bible principles and the reasons why I feel like what we listen to actually matters. Music. What do we know about music? One of the things that people say all the time is it's a universal language. And it is. Let's just say you're in a country that's different from your own, and you don't understand anything that the people are saying. But they can. For me, I'm in America, so an outside country for me would be Mexico. If I was in Mexico and the mariachi bands were going off, you feel it. I'm bobbing my head and getting with it. You feel it. It gets into you, and it's infectious. And if I was in the Middle East and the music came on and it was it's just moving. It moves you on the inside. At least it does me. It moves me on the inside without even knowing what's going on with it or what people are saying. It's just moving. Music is a universal language. It connects with us all. You don't have to be a musician. You don't have to know anything about music. You don't have to be able to sing, but you'll squawk and crack and creak out every note. It's truly infectious, and it's truly something that touches everyone. Also, music is a vehicle, and it delivers a message to the listener. But the thing is, once we begin to listen to that message, we promote the growth of that message in our lives. And there's different messages and different genres of music. And some messages may be, hey, I love this guy because he's good to me, or I love this girl because she gets up every morning and she cooks me breakfast, or I don't like this guy because he stole my girl, or praise you, Jesus, I love you, I bless your holy name, or you don't have money, I have money, look at all my cars and chains, or whatever the message is. Music is different, but artists have a message, and that message they promote to you. And once we listen to that, we begin to promote growth of that message in our lives. Now, there was a guy named Dr. Craig Anderson. He was at Iowa State University, and they did a study on lyrics. What they did, they got different groups of people, and they took people of different ages, different backgrounds, so that this wouldn't be a focused study. And they brought them in rooms, separate rooms, and they let them listen to music. Now, some of the music had violent lyrics, some of it didn't. And they didn't tell them what the experiment was, just so they wouldn't be, their perception wouldn't be skewed in any way. So they were just listening to music as far as they knew. And after they had listened to music, they were brought in and they were interviewed and they were asked questions that had nothing to do with music, just general questions. And unsurprisingly, the people that had the violent lyrics gave more aggressive answers to their questions, no matter what the question was. So, and I think we all know that. I think we all get it that these things have a certain influence on you. And I know some of us may be thinking, and we've all been there, I can separate it. You know, I am an adult. I am mature. I can listen to this and it not affect me. Come on now, grow up. I can listen to this and it not affect me. And I think that is true to a certain extent. But one thing I would offer for you to think about is, what is the best part of waking up? Folgers in your cup. Yeah, right. You got it. Or ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Of course, there was this really smart guy back in the day. His name was Sigmund Freud. He was a psychologist, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's considered the father of modern psychology. Well, he had this concept, and there was a picture that showed an iceberg. And the iceberg, they showed the peak of the iceberg, which was very small, above the water. And in the ocean, under the water, there was this massive rest of the iceberg, and it was huge, and about 80 to 90% of the iceberg was underwater. And he proposed that this is how our brains work, that the 10 to 20% that's above the surface is our conscious, and the 80 to 90% that's below the surface is our subconscious. And this is how our brain makeup is. So the things that we remember, the things that we recall, the things that we presently know that's affecting us is about 10 to 20%. But the things that we don't know that's affecting us is a lot bigger. It's huge. It's the base of the iceberg. And so with that being said, I bring to you Proverbs 18 and 21, which says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So we think about the things that's speaking into our life or death. 10 to 20% of it, we know, we get it, we recall it. We say, okay, this is affecting me. And 80 to 90%, we can't even recall. We don't even know what's going on. It's in the background running somewhere that we are not conscious of. What we put into us, if we're putting death or life into us, it's speaking in our subconscious. So that's why I think we should be mindful of the things that we listen to, because it's speaking life or death into us. And sometimes we may listen to certain things that we know aren't the best for us, and it's in our subconscious, and we don't really know presently. No, we can't recall certain things about it, but it's in our subconscious. And we begin to have mindsets, and we begin to have thought patterns that are in opposition to the Word of God. And sometimes we get confused about why we feel that way and why these questions are popping in our head and why we feel this way. And a lot of times it's our subconscious, the superego, the things that we put in, speaking death instead of life into us. And another thing about music, it is very spiritual. Whether we know it or not, music is spiritual. I used to listen to a genre of music. Like I said, I'm not going to mention names or anything like that, because that's not what this is about. This is just to start a conversation and to invoke thought. So I used to listen to a genre of music that was really good genre of music, really groovy music. Most of it was about love. But the thing that I think was maybe a little offsetting about it is a lot of the artists in that genre had a lot of New Age beliefs. They believe that we ourselves are gods and everything. We are self-sufficient outside of a deity. It's all in us, and we ourselves are gods. We just have to unlock it. And there was this particular artist that I listened to. I liked his music. Like I said, it was groovy. It was nice. It was good music. For all purposes, it would be considered open season music to listen to. But this guy actually admitted that he had been to another country, and he had witch doctors, I think it was from voodoo, to pray over these albums in order to boost the sales so that people would be drawn to it. And to think, I was listening to that, and God only knows what he saved me from in my mind, because I did get to a point to where I questioned some things, and I began to question some of my beliefs, and God spared me. I didn't go down a horrible road. I didn't go down a spiral, but I have no doubt in my mind it was what I was connecting to myself to in music that was in my subconscious that were raising those questions. I was connecting myself to the artist. And a lot of these artists, they put their essence, they put who they are into the song. They may go into a vocal booth and they sing and everything is good. And the recording engineer, he'll cut it. That wasn't good. We got to re-record it. There was no feeling. You did not put yourself into this. I can't feel your emotions. I can't tell what you're going through. Artist puts themselves into the lyrics, not just words, but their essence, who they are. It goes into it. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Saul, he was vexed with a spirit, with an evil spirit, with anxiety. He was vexed with anxiety, and he could not get away from it. And so he went to all of his wise people and his counselors, and they said, "Well, why don't you get somebody that can play the string instruments that can soothe you and drive this anxiety, drive this spirit that's vexing you, drive it away." And so they actually recommended David, and they said a lot of things about him, that he was that he was cunning and skilled on the string instruments, and they gave him a lot of praise, and they talked very highly about him. But the last thing they said is that the Lord was with him, and that was the most important thing. So from this passage, it tells you, it didn't even say that he sang any lyrics at all, but who he was, the Lord was with him. And because God was with him, and because of who he was, he played, and the spirit that was upon him began to move upon Saul, and it drove away his anxiety. So that alone teaches you that music is very spiritual. And this is why I feel it's very important to pay attention to more than just the message in a song. During these days, we have social media. We have all kinds of tools at our disposal. And if somebody's singing some great songs, they're singing about love, they're singing about this and that, but their persona and who they are, if we go on social media and we see who they are, what they welcome into their lives, if it's very anti-biblical, then I feel like we take some of that on when we listen to them. And I know it may not be a super big deal, but I do feel like we take on some of that when we listen to artists. We take on some of who they are because they put it into the songs. They bear their emotions and all that they are. That's why I feel we should be very mindful of who we are listening to. And also another passage that that kind of puts this into perspective is Acts chapter 16. The church was starting. The church, it was an early church, so they were baptizing a lot of people. They were praying with a lot of people. They were seeing a lot of miracles. Well, they were on the way to prayer one day, and this lady started following them, and she said that these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. That's a very good message. She was saying a very good message. But if we look at further down, she was a soothsayer. She was a fortune teller. She was a psychic. She was a witch, whatever you want to call it. She vexed Paul so much that he turned to her and he told the unclean spirit to come out. Now, what she was saying was truth. They were men, the servants of the Most High God, and they were showing them the way to salvation. It was a good message, but the spirit behind it vexed Paul. It vexed him. The spirit, the essence, who she was, the persona, it vexed him, even though the message was good. Just think on that. Like I said, things for us to think on. And if you want to look that up for yourself, it's Acts chapter 16. And music, it grabs our emotions. That when the strings are pumping or the bass is thumping or whatever is going on, it grabs your emotions. And then the lyrics and the artists promote their message through it to us. So we get all emotional and perceptive, and we open ourselves up with the music, and then whatever message they have, it just rides in that vehicle and it hits our ego and our superego, our conscious and our subconscious. Plato, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of him. He's a Greek philosopher. One of his statements was, "Give me the music of a nation and I will change that nation's mind." How powerful is that? Smart guy, and he knows the power of music. And here's another saying. I'll let you guess who it is. This guy said, "If you give me the music to a nation's youth, I'll control that nation." That, my friends, was Adolf Hitler. And he was a tyrant. He was known for taking over a nation and captivating their minds. And his statement was, "If I want to do it, give me the music to a nation's youth, and I'll control that nation." So let's get to the good part. As ministers, we want to make sure that our lines of communication with God are as clear as they can be. And when we have mindsets and influences that impair those lines, then it weakens our ability to hear from him. And it may just be a slow but steady attack on some of the things that keep our personal ministry set apart for him. So music, yes, it's a big deal. Whether we know it or not, our subconscious feeds on a lot of the stuff. And the essence of who that person is, that artist is, we catch a little bit of that also. So let's be mindful in who we're listening to and what influences we're allowing in our lives. Because in this thing called life and this thing called ministry and this road that we're on and following Christ, it's a game of chess. In darkness, they play the long game. Subtle things. It's not about changing things overnight. It's about just planting little seeds and putting little influences here, little influences there, and changing things a little. And the trajectory over the long term, it goes off. So that's what it's about. Just be mindful of the things that you listen to. Like I said, we're all smart adults, and we know what the Bible says. We know what principles the Bible teaches, and we know the artists that we listen to and the lyrics that we listen to. We know if those line up and if those apply. But what I want to get you to see is it affects us even if we don't know it. In our subconscious, those lyrics and who that person is speaking either life or death over us. Remember, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So let's make sure we're being mindful of the things that we listen to and the things that we're letting into our hearts, into our minds, because they do affect us. And if we're in ministry, it trickles down and it slowly affects the people that we're ministering to because it affects us. We're not as effective, so therefore they don't get the best from us. Just charging a little thought, just trying to invoke a little thought, trying to get us to work at ministry at very high levels. And at very high levels, sometimes we may have to sacrifice things that aren't necessarily sin, but they may affect us and the way we minister to others. So think about that this week. All right, guys, it's been great. If you like this blog or you want to hear any of the other blogs that I have or the podcast, head on over to theworshipleaderblog.com. I have all of my blogs there. All of these podcasts are there. So you can go check them out. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available. Looking forward to getting together again with you guys and discussing something else next week. But until then, signing off.